To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I remind you to fan into flame the gift that you received through the laying on of hands. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So what a set of passages we had today. But today we have Paul writing to Timothy as someone who is his adopted son. In the gospel reading, it sounded a bit different. Normally, we're thinking Jesus, full of grace, and Paul, he's the one that's going to hit you hard. But actually, Paul is giving us grace upon grace. And Jesus is doing it also, but he's saying, do you do things out of duty or you do things out of delight? But what we're looking here in the passage, in the epistle, in 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 14, is looking how to pass on the faith, how to pass on the faith to others. I remember the first parish that I ever worked at, it was a young parish. It was only about 1,000 years old. So that's young by British standards. I know for American standards, if you have a house that's 40 years old, that's old. This church is about 45 years old, so that's old by American standards. But how do you pass on the faith? And here in this passage, Paul is doing something that very many fathers would do in the first century. They would write letters to their sons or to their daughters, and they would try to pass on some nuggets of wisdom and wealth of knowledge so that they could thrive and make sense of life, so that their family wouldn't just be a one-generation wonder in the Roman kind of social system. But Paul is writing his adopted son, Timothy, and he tells him three things on how to pass on the faith. The first thing he says is, remember. The second thing he says is, I remind you. So there's remember, there's a reminder, and then he says, rekindle. Remember. Remember. Don't you find it interesting that almost every Sunday when we celebrate the Lord's Supper or we take Holy Communion, we are hit with this phrase, on the night in which he was betrayed, at supper with his disciples, he took bread, gave you thanks, and said, do this in remembrance. He tells us to remember. And one of the biggest ways to pass on your family history to others is to remember that family history. What is it that has happened in your life? And pass that down to your kids. So similarly, Paul is saying, I want to pass this down to you, Timothy. He says, Timothy, you know, I met you in Ephesus, but before I ever met you, you weren't even born. You weren't even a sparkle in your grandmother Lois's eyes. He says, I met Lois, and then I met your mother Eunice, and then I met you. And this has been three amazing generations of God's grace and favor in the city of Ephesus. Remember everything that God has done for you. In fact, almost all the festivals that Paul would have celebrated as a child, growing up in a Jewish household, would have been festivals of remembrance, remembering what God had done for him in the past, whether it's the Feast of Booths, that once they were homeless and now they have a homeland in the Promised Land, Passover, that once they were slaves but now they're free. The whole point of passing on your faith is remembering and passing that on. But the second thing that Paul tells him is, he's like, I'm reminding you, and I am reminded of your faith, the faith of your mother, the faith of your grandmother. And I remind you to fan into the flame the gift you received. So remember, we've heard at least six times, reminder at least three times in this passage. But reminders, how do reminders work? Well, if you've ever been to a particular restaurant here in New Smyrna, there's a guy called Mike, and he is the waiter at this restaurant. And I always love it when we get Mike, because he's the guy that I would want on my team if I were doing a pub quiz trivia. He has every weird factoid memorized. In fact, while he takes your order, he's like, okay, give me your order, and then he hits you with a trivia question. And he knows the trivia question. I might know like maybe 50% of that, but he knows all of them. Now, maybe you're a bit like Mike, or maybe you're a bit like Pete, where you have to write it down because the moment you step into Publix, you can't remember what you were supposed to get on the shopping list. It's good to remember, but we also need reminders. And that's why they've created this wonderful thing in our iPhones, right? You can say, remind me at 12:03 on Monday to pray for Youth Alpha at DeLand High, and you set your alarm to go off at 12:03 because you wouldn't remember. So you can set a time reminder. But you can also set geographic reminders. In fact, you can say, hey, Siri. I didn't trigger anyone's phone yet. Hey, Siri, remind me when I get to work to bring my lunchbox from 3 days ago home. Not that I would do that, but I'm saying, you know, some of y'all probably do that, right? You can set a geographic reminder so when you arrive to a geographic location or you leave a geographic location, you're reminded. What Paul is saying is that we need to be reminded on a regular basis because we're forgetful creatures. Why did he say do this in remembrance? Because we forget. We forget the grace of God. And even here at this church, we come in on Sunday and we worship and we walk out the door and we don't remember the sacrifices of people that were built to make this thing happen. I mean, I learned something new this last week. This last week, I met with a gentleman by the name of Mark. Some of you will know Mark, or you may know his mom, Marge Fairweather. But actually, Marge isn't the first person in the family here. She might be the Eunice. The lowest of the family were two folks by the name of John and Peg D'Onofrio. John served on our vestry or our board. John contributed in 1987. There was a whole capital campaign, building on the rock. There wasn't anything. This was all palms and just roughage. And they cleared this and they built this church. If we are here at this church, it's because we're standing on the shoulders of giants, people who've lived sacrificially, people who've given sacrificially to make sure that God's kingdom is built here in New Smyrna and further afield. And, you know, just like the church that I worshiped in England, which was about 1,000 years old, I would love, as long as, you know, the tide doesn't come and the hurricanes don't wash all the intercoastal away, what if we could be here for 1,000 years? That would be such a testimony of that. But reminders, we need reminders. And Paul tells Timothy that is, you need a reminder. We're forgetful creatures, you need reminders. And what does he say? Fan into flame. Weekly, come and receive Holy Communion. Partake of the Lord's Supper. Come, receive prayer ministry. Come, volunteer on a regular basis. That reminds you of God's goodness. Give of your time, your talents, and your treasures. Those are ways of reminding yourself of God's goodness. But lastly, the biggest thing that happens here, Paul tells him, you need to remember, you need reminders, but above all else, you need to rekindle the flame, the gift that you received by the laying on of hands. The first church I ever served at was about 1,000-year-old church. And then in 2012, I moved from there to a much younger church. It was about 1 year old, but it met in a 1,600-year-old barn with a really old furnace. And it was about 70 acres, and I remember one of our facilities manager, if you want to call him that, Sexton, Verger, whatever term you want to use. Our facilities manager came in to help me because as the associate priest there, I was like, "What? How does this work? How does this old wood-fired thing work? I'm used to central heating. I don't know how wood-fired works. I know I was in the Army and Boy Scout and whatnot, but how does this work?" So he was like, "Look, let me show you." So he opened it up, and there I saw a couple little coals, and I thought he's going to restack it all and put the kindling and put the paper and do whatever. He just opened it up, and he gently just blew. And all of a sudden, these little grayish, black, ashen things just jumped to life with bright orange and red because he blew. He fanned into flame what was in this old furnace. And that's exactly what Paul is telling Timothy. Fan into flame the gift that you received by the laying on of hands. Now, is that gift of laying on hands, was it a special prayer language? Was it gifts of ministry for leadership in the church in Ephesus? Was it wisdom for leading the church in Ephesus? Was it just a spiritual impartation? We don't know. I think it probably all of the above, all four of those. I mean, at least that's when I was reading another commentary by Bishop Tom Wright. He was saying, it's all of the above. But maybe that's because that's the way we are as Anglicans. We, as Episcopalians, like, why'd we cross the road to get to the middle? A little bit of everything. But the point is that Timothy received this gift. And when we offer prayer ministry, we lay hands on people and we pray that prayer is a blessing of healing and wholeness, that God would fan to flame and give you a gift that is good for you. When you got confirmed, the bishop put his hands on you and said, strengthen, O Lord, confirm, O Lord, your servant. You're asking for the Holy Spirit to do something beautiful in your life. But how do we get the power to remember and to have those reminders with this rekindling? Here is the essence of that. You see, in the old Roman Empire, the ultimate power in the whole Mediterranean basin resided in one person. This one person commanded everything, what your taxes were and what they were, even though they had a Senate, he had total authority. And his total authority was such that his ultimate authority was even power over death, in the sense that he could command your death or he could command you not to die. But here, Paul tells us of someone who has more power than Caesar. In fact, it says this in verse 10. The ultimate power no longer belongs to Caesar. He has power over death. But onto the scene has come someone with greater power who has abolished death and brought life and immortality. You see, Jesus is more powerful than Caesar. That's exactly what Paul is saying. You want to rekindle the gift? The gift comes through grace because of what Jesus did on the cross, because he has punched a hole in death. Now, death is no longer the undiscovered country or the place from which no one returns. Jesus is called the firstborn. And you know why he's called the firstborn? Because that means that's many, many. You only have a firstborn if there's others that are born afterwards. So similarly, with Marge's funeral on 1 November, why do we say there's a sure and certain hope of the resurrection? Because Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. And that means he's not the last. And that also means that when you die, if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can be among the second, the third, the fourth, the umpteenth born from the dead. Jesus has power over death, and he can even blow into the gray and ashen embers of your heart and fan it into flame. So, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit, the new life that Jesus has purchased for us on the cross. We ask that your Spirit would hover over us right now and blow upon the embers of our heart and cause new life and new fire and a new passion for your name. Lord, remind us of all that you've done. Help us remember your goodness, and in doing so, rekindle a passion for your name. We ask this all in Christ's strong name. Amen.